Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin alongside. This is usually football Friday hour. It still is, but Fezzik is off today.
Yeah, give him the day off.
He called a shot early in the week, too. He's like, just to let you know, I got a lot going on. But Zach Cohen will join us instead. So we're looking forward to that. So it's Felica, Zach, and Dr. Bob with a little NFL bets, are we sure? A little NFL bets and are we sure tossed in the middle of it. Let me get some tweets before we get to Felica. Shooter McGamblin. Cam Ward still exists in the Heisman race also. I took a bite at 15-1 for an award that has traditionally been awarded to the best quarterback on the best team. I like those odds. 12-1 conference champs, maybe. Jason McKinney, Turducken is wonderful, but it's got to be done right. When I was watching the end of the Bears-Lions, I'm pretty sure I heard Todd Wishnev losing his mind. Ice Cold Gambler, man, I hate to admit it when I'm wrong, but Kelly proved me wrong and made it into work today. Good for you, Kelly.
Yeah, haters.
The Friday streak starts today. Happy weekend, guys. Yeah, you noticed too, huh? Brian Schaefer, with your outlook on Gentry winning the Heisman, which I agree with, he says, shouldn't the same be for Saquon winning MVP in the NFL? He breaks all the NFL rushing records, and they still give the award to a quarterback, then they will never give it to a running back. Let's call it a QVP. Brian, I think you're right. And Aaron Schatz, who's one of the 50, the biggest difference is, right, there's 938 Heisman votes. There's literally 50 for these NFL awards. That's the biggest difference. But you're right. If Saquon breaks all the records and they don't give it to Saquon, you're absolutely right. They'll never give it to a running back. Never. Unless you have some outlying year where like no quarterback shines, the likelihood of that is very slim. But that's the only scenario.
Still trying to figure out QVP. So just
a quarterback valuable player is what he's trying to say. Yeah. Not most valuable player. Kyle D at Dom Kohler early. This is why I dislike head coaches doing play calling. It pulls them away from their head coaching responsibilities. You have a rookie quarterback and a rookie-ish OC play caller. And Flus just froze, but Caleb's lack of telling time is concerning, too. Charitable Gambler, we don't often disagree to this degree. Your main argument against Travis was the best wide receiver in college football is so great that he'll be playing cornerback next year. Genty is great. He's not close to Hunter. No, my main argument is he's not the best quarterback. He's not the best wide receiver, nor is he the best cornerback. He has great stats on both sides. But the stats don't necessarily bear that out in either case. And so I'm just saying what Genty does, he is so elite in doing. And Travis Hunter is still the number one resume thing he has is that he plays both sides of the football. He's great. Don't get me wrong. I love the dude. He's incredible. But I don't know if that wins you a Heisman over a guy who's breaking records. For an award historically, by the way, the Heisman, that in a previous era of football was always given to running backs. So there is a little bit of hearkening back to that as well that might be in some of the voters' minds. Anyway, Travis Hunter is still the prohibitive favorite. He's likely to win, maybe, but plus 750, I'm willing to take my shot on that. Chris Felica joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, from Columbus, Ohio, where it took him two planes to get there. He, of course, is the Bear. El Oso from Fox Sports, Big Noon Saturdays, and, of course, the Bear Bets podcast. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing much better now that I am here. Little bit of a delay in Detroit, but we've made it here on time. Would be better if I would have played Memphis moneyline last night to get off of the Memphis under win total from Dr. Bob. Would have been a nice clean sweep, but a clean break would have gotten off that. But you know how the holidays go. You got stuff going on.
Yeah, man.
But we're okay. I'd be better too if Ibrahim Konate did not hurt his knee Wednesday against Real Madrid, and I was going to miss over a month. So that's a bad day. It's a bad deal as well. But enough about my maladies in this sport.
let me get to the game you're at. Of course, Ohio State, yeah. Michigan. Listen, growing up on the East Coast, pick your poison, either Auburn, Alabama, or Michigan, Ohio State. Those are the two best rivalries in college football. I know there's rivalries across the country, but for those of us who grew up in that side of the country, it was always a toss-up between those two. Ryan Day and Ohio State, huge favorites here. He's got to get the proverbial monkey off his back. So let me just ask it this way. Is there any chance in your mind that they gack this whole thing? Forget no. about the cover.
No.
No.
No. The way their defense has played since the game at Oregon, when Larry Johnson and Jim Knowles came under all that criticism about the defensive scheme and not really being rushing the passer in certain ways. They've changed it up. They kind of sent Larry Johnson to the timeout corner. And since then, they have not allowed a touchdown pass. They've allowed 4 touchdowns and 15 red zone trips. They lead the nation in sacks over that 5-game stretch. Michigan's offense is terrible. This will not be a close game tomorrow.
Not be a close game. What do you believe is your what is bettable? What are your favorite bets of the weekend? Today and tomorrow?
Let's see. I don't have it broken down by day, so I'm just going to start rambling. I do know, though, today, Miami of Ohio at Bowling Green. I like Miami of Ohio. I think there are some threes that have begun to pop. I don't know if that indicates that Harold Fanning Jr., Bowling Green's great tight end, is going to play. But I do like BG. I think Miami's defense late in the year has played very, very well. And I think if you look at compare the schedules, they have kind of had a tougher road to go in the MAC. They had to play Ohio U, which is a really good team. They beat Ohio U. So that ultimately will hold the tiebreak for them over Ohio U if they want to win a tiebreak. But I do like Miami of Ohio. I like the way they have played late in the year. So I took the 2.5, and now you can get a better number than me at 3.
There you go. A little matching while Genty and Travis Hunter are playing.
That's going to be interesting for Boise State today. Like, I'm curious how they handle it, because I remember a couple of years ago, and we talked about this at the time, about how, remember when David Shaw played Bryce Love
yes.
in that Notre Dame game, which really didn't mean anything, and he got nicked up even more, and that wind up costing him the Pac-12 title game and the Rose Bowl. Like, I don't think Jenke's going to win the Heisman, but you kind of need to let him play, even though he's been nicked up. Next week's the game you need to win. You beat UNLV, you're going to the playoff. So you need him as healthy as he can be. So I'm curious to see how they play that coming up here in a little while.
By the way, let me just interrupt too. The Bryce Love thing, I think that's one of these players that gets lost in history.
Totally.
He played hurt so often that I believe in my heart that it ruined his entire career. I really do.
I wouldn't doubt that at all. I would buy that. If you were selling stock in that, I believe that.
Yeah. Anyway, it is what it is. But yes, I understand your point. The game against UNLV is the one that matters for Boise State. Right. Absolutely.
And I'll be there next week for that. I'm looking forward to that.
There you go.
Yeah, which would be good. Love Boise. Other plays. No natural segue there. Sam Houston State getting 2.5 against Liberty. I don't know if threes are still out there. The Bearcats have struggled to score at times, but they have a chance to make the Conference USA title game. It's not in their hands. They need to win today against Liberty and then hope that Jacksonville State doesn't really lick the stamp and mail it in. They've already clinched their spot. They play Western Kentucky, who needs to beat Jacksonville State to get there. So you might get a rematch there, but I think Sam Houston State does beat Liberty today. This is not the same Liberty team that we have seen in recent years. I think they go out there. Defense has played well most of the years. So I think Bearcats with a K get the home win. I like Baylor getting 1.5 against Kansas. I just look at the way Kansas's last month has gone. You blew that game against Kansas State. Like, they had fourth quarter leads in basically all their games. You lose that game, and then the grim reaper of the Big 12, KU, you knock off Iowa State, you knock off BYU, you knock off Colorado last week. That's a hell of a month. And now I just wonder, does Lance Leipold's team have anything left for this game where you go on the road to Baylor, you win it, you get bowl eligible after being 2-6, which would be an unbelievable achievement. But the one thing about Dave Aranda's team, I think even though their defense hasn't been great, I still trust Dave Aranda to kind of draw up a scheme to slow down Devin Neal. They're 1.5 underdog at home against KU. I like Baylor here getting a point. They've been a different team offensively as well since they kind of let Sawyer Robertson take over the controls at quarterback. So I took Baylor. And then you might want to wait on this one. Again, I had to write up a column and I had to make plays. So I took Houston plus 13 against BYU. At the time of writing this, you don't know what the game is going to mean for BYU. Maybe they have a chance to get to the Big 12 championship game. Maybe they do not. So I don't have the luxury of waiting. If it's a win and end game for BYU, you're probably going to see this number go north of 14. But I don't think Willie Fritz's team mails it in here. Defensively, they've been pretty good for much of the year. BYU, we've kind of seen the one possession games kind of regress to the mean the last couple of weeks when they've lost. I know Houston is a team that's been down, but Willie Fritz is building a program, building a culture. He ran off a lot of guys there. As a big underdog here, getting 13, I'm happy with that. I don't think they go to Provo and get blown out at all. So Houston plus 13 would be the fourth and final play I got for you.
Anything with Texas A&M?
I lean over because I'm not sure how good Texas A&M's defense really is. We were on Auburn last week, and I didn't expect Auburn to basically go up and down the field on them. I know Texas's offense has not been great, but I get a feeling Texas shows up, they go on the road, and I think they get the win and probably be a little bit more of a higher scoring game. Because I think the Longhorns have a chance to put up some points there.
All right, with 2 weekends of college football before we find out who is in the playoff. The playoff that begins, a little over three weeks from now?
The 19th, Friday the 19th,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the 19th, so exactly 3 weeks from now, 20 days from now. Who do you believe is the surprise? As you see it coming down these last 2 weeks, as you see these games developing and resulting, who do you think ends up being the surprise?
A surprise in terms of getting in,
yes, or getting out, whichever way you want to answer that.
Let me take a quick little look here at the.
Is it UNLV getting in? Is it what do you believe?
That would be a very good one because I think the way Boise has played the last couple of weeks, I actually took a little UNLV plus 240 to win the Mountain West last week.
Okay,
just because I think if you look at how Boise has played against Nevada, how they played against Hawaii, how they played against San Jose State, how they played last week at Wyoming, they might be that team that just peaked a little bit too early. So
okay,
we could be looking here at the Rebels with an opportunity to get into the
thank you, Chris.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. This year, skip the holiday hustle and bustle and save 50% off site-wide during their cyber sale at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get a $30 reward card when you shop early and score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With 5 generations of experience, Omaha Steaks consistently delivers the world's best steak experience, and their gifting experts have made it easy to deliver the perfect gift with thoughtfully curated gift packages starting at $89.99. From legendary steaks to mouthwatering desserts and more, save 50% off site-wide during the cyber sale at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS and a $30 reward card when you shop early. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Zach Cohen is kind enough to join us on this Friday to talk football, to talk basketball, to talk tennis with us. He wants to talk about everything, and we will absolutely indulge him on that because I'm excited to talk about it. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX, and he is part of the glue that holds this whole operation together at VSiN. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're well. Let's start with the tennis. I mentioned this yesterday. Iga already serving, almost done with serving. We learn a 1-month suspension. This on the heels of Jannik Sinner. I was talking about this earlier in the year when this went down, about how when it's a big time player like Sinner or Iga, number ones or number twos in the world we're talking about here, depending on which time of the year we're talking. It's kind of like it's done with already. It didn't really happen. What's your take on this?
I just feel like it's a huge waste of time. I wish
too.
That they didn't release it the way that they do. Like, cause we get people get push notifications and it says Iga Swiatek, Jannik Sinner, ruled to be doping. And it's like, you read further into the story if you actually click it, and it's like trace samples of these things that are in their, medicines that they're already taking,
right,
that, could not possibly be helping them in any way. So I think that I see a lot of people say that they're getting preferential treatment for being number ones in the world, which that's not true. They do have an advantage. That's having the best lawyers, best scientists that can help them prove their cases very quickly. But these are non-issues that are really looking bad for the sport.
I would agree with you that the headline is way more salacious than the actual reality. Once you read them, you're like, oh, yep. It's like this infinitesimal something or other that no one really knows where it came from. Taylor Fritz had the best tweet about this yesterday, I thought, which is, if it's a player you like, right, you immediately sort of dismiss it as, hey, look, I mean, like the article says, it's nonsense. If it's a player you don't like, you're more likely to be like, hey, Simona Halep, 9 months, you deserve more than that. And you know, Simona Halep had to do 9 months of, you know, so I don't know. I agree with you that in the end, the upshot is it feels like a colossal waste of time.
Yeah. And I think Halep, like, you see all the old players that get banned, get in trouble. They come out and they say that it's not fair to them. I believe Halep had real steroids in her system. She just did not know she was taking them. There's a difference between that and what was happening with these two. Like, Iga was taking melatonin and there was just, you know, this smallest amount of whatever this was in her system. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. And then, you know, Sinner, they found the source immediately and they fired his entire medical team.
Right. But as you were saying off air, then if you have like a Djokovic fan, they go crazy about it when it's like, hey, Djokovic is kind of defying all rules that we know of being able to play tennis at a high level for all these years, because that's not suspicious at all, you know. So it's like it's unbelievable.
Just look at Jannik Sinner and tell me he's on steroids. The guy is like, exactly. He's a twig. He has the worst stamina of anybody in the top five. He's always injured. Like, if he's on steroids, they are not working.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think we gave
that enough. I hate those kind of steroids.
I think we gave that enough juice. You made a couple NBA futures plays.
Yep. So the ones that I really like, I took it before the season. I took it again at 20-1. I took Steph Castle to win Rookie of the Year. And I just kind of think this is still very good value, even at 8-1, which is probably the best you're going to find it now. I feel like he should be number two behind Jared McCain, ahead of Dalton Connect, and kind of in the pole position for a player that's going to leap to number one if McCain starts to struggle when Paul George and Joel Embiid are back, which I do think is going to happen. But Castle has just been an unbelievable defender right out the gates. He's scoring in double digits on a nightly basis, starting to, you know, to rack up 5 to 7 assists per night. He has been the best defender in this rookie class, but he's now starting to play, you know, consistent offense, which is, you know, the question mark for him coming into the year. And he's doing it, you know, on a Spurs team that is right in the playoff mix. You know, I believe they're 10th in the play-in right now. I think that they're a team that is going to compete for the play-in all year long, but I think that Castle's making the biggest winning impact of any rookie, and the numbers are starting to get there with a guy like McCain, obviously scoring 20 plus, but he's doing it in losing efforts, and he has two stars that are going to take the ball away from him when they return.
Yeah, Stephon Castle right now 8-1, Connect and McCain, as you said, short of McCain -140, the favorite, Dalton Connect +250, but then it is Castle at 8-1. Zachary Risacher leading the double digit parade at 14-1. What was the other one you made?
I took Amen Thompson 20-1 to win Sixth Man of the Year, which is pretty outrageous price. It's like +700 to +800 everywhere, but you can find a 20-1 out there, and I would take it if you can. He has been probably the best wing defender in basketball this year for a Rockets team that is second in the Western Conference right now. I think that he's playing as well as anyone coming off the bench. I know that Pritchard is the current betting favorite in the market, but to me, it'd be Thompson. I think that that price is just crazy. So make sure you look out there for the best numbers. It is out there. Thompson has just been awesome this season, his second year in the league.
Yeah, or you could be me and bet Norman Powell to win to win most improved, and then the second I bet him, he misses 4 or 5 games with a hamstring.
He's back today.
Yeah, back today.
Oh, is that official, Zach? I was going to say he might be back today.
Yeah,
I saw he was upgraded to questionable. That's usually a good sign.
Yeah, it's brutal timing.
Yeah, brutal. That sucks.
Yeah, not good. Let's start. Anything college football this week?
I'm laying 29 with Indiana. It's a lot of points. I don't really feel great about doing that, but I do think that they're going to try to pick up some style points after that loss last week. I think that they're probably in no matter what. Whether or not I think they should be is a whole other problem, but I do think that they are going to, you know, kind of lay the wood to Purdue. It's just a Boilermakers team that is outside the top 100 in both EPA per play and EPA per play allowed. Really bad on both sides of the ball, and I do think, like, I think Cignetti's going to want to run this up, not just because of the college football playoff, but because of it's, you know, an in-state rivalry. I think this is going to get really, really ugly.
I think the committee is telling us they're in, right? When they made them 10th, as long as they were on the inside, what could possibly go wrong against Purdue, right? So it's like, I think that's what the committee was telling us, I believe. Mm-hmm. They're also telling us that Alabama was 13th. So if there's any way for Alabama to get in, I think they were also telling us that. Anything else in college football?
Yes, I'm also taking the points with Vanderbilt. I just kind of think that that game has close game written all over it, not just because Tennessee has a lot of pressure going into this week. You know, they're in the field right now, but a loss could certainly take them out. But also, this is a rivalry game, an in-state rivalry game. I think that Vanderbilt's going to, you know, take pride in trying to ruin Tennessee's season. And Iamaleava just has not been very good away from home this year and also just against good competition. I do think Vanderbilt kind of qualifies as a solid, you know, competition team. All of his, you know, numbers this year have come against very, very bad defenses. And just, yeah, like I said, away from home, he's been a different quarterback.
I love rivalry week. Sorry about that. It's a tough thing to say. Rivalry week for one reason above all. Brock Osweiler, Kelly, when he gets on a rivalry week game,
yeah,
and you hear him do color, if they throw a flag, his comment is always something to the effect of, "You can't throw that in a rivalry game." Love it. It is just the most ridiculous bit of broadcasting you'll ever hear. It's like, no, it's a rivalry game. That doesn't count. And it shouldn't be able to apply the rules. Okay, NFL, what did you land on?
Just two plays for me this week. I do like the Chargers against the Falcons. I know that it's a pretty bad spot with the Falcons coming up the bye week, but I think that this number would be a little worse if we saw the Chargers play a little better in these last two games. But I don't think Los Angeles is going to have any trouble moving the ball against this Falcons defense, and I do think that they're going to be able to stop Atlanta's offense. I also just kind of think this is a massive, massive coaching mismatch between Harbaugh and Morris. So this is a game where I'd really expect the Chargers to win, and laying the point isn't a problem for me. You know, you could go money line if you want. It's not a lot of juice, but I do think they're going to win this game on the road.
What are you talking about? Raheem Morris is one of the 2013 Washington Redskins coaching tree all-stars from that year. This game, I feel like, and I don't know if you'll agree, Chargers Falcons, anecdotally,
here,
more people have an opinion on this game this week either way than any other game this week, it feels like.
Oh, okay. I guess I hadn't thought about it that way. The way I thought about it is I'm on the Falcons. I bet the Falcons early, and I feel like I'm just getting everybody we talk to is Chargers, Chargers, Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, is that
I'm feeling standalone-ish a little here.
Well, you're standalone-ish to begin with.
That's true.
Standoffish and standalone-ish. No, I'm kidding. He's not. Anything else, NFL, before you get out?
Yeah, I played the Jets at +114. I'd still play them now at +100. I don't feel great about taking New York ever, but I do think this is about as good a spot as you're going to get with them coming off a bye week, playing a Seattle team that they're very, very similar to in terms of EPA per play and EPA per play allowed. I just feel like if the Jets are going to get another win, this is a really good spot for them to do it. And Rodgers obviously is playing through, you know, whatever ailments he's suffering with right now. Maybe you could say that's a bad thing, but I do think he's going to have a good game against the Seattle secondary, which I do think is burnable. And also, I think you're going to get Davante Adams having, you know, more familiarity with the playbook with 2 weeks in the offense. I just feel like this is a really good number for the Jets. I don't think the Seahawks are that much better than them.
Yeah. You're a braver man than I.
Me too.
I want no part of this game, but I can see your scenario coming up. I can see any scenario happening.
Like Jason said, I'm getting closer and closer to Seattle. I haven't pulled the trigger yet, but man, you still got faith in New York. Good for you, Zach.
Zach, thanks for filling in on a Friday, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays.
You too. Zach Cohen at Betting on X on Twitter. We got our G-Bank Best Bets of the Week and some Are We Sure next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, do you want to take down Brian Musburger in poker?
Yeah. What about give me that money.
What about Paulie Howard, Mike Palm, Dave Tooley, Adam Berker, Scott Seidenberg?
All of them. especially Seidenberg's money. I'm coming for yours, Scott.
Call it all VSiN poker players. VSiN has partnered with Poker Now, and together we're hosting an online poker tournament this Sunday, December 1st, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can win a golden passport for a free seat in the largest poker free roll ever, the World Poker Tour's $5 million free roll in Las Vegas later in December. Visit VSiN.com/poker and register today for your chance to win. That's VSiN.com/poker. Seidenberg's money, that's who you want to take the most?
I was trying to decide who I wanted most, yeah. Yeah. But I'll go with Scott. We'll go with Scott.
We had Tweeds at Beanie the Book, the numbers guys. We've had Jason under a cloud of smoke, and now we've had the bear under a pillow covering his face. Audio got better the second half, but I had to look to see if he was underwater. Happy Thanksgiving.
Darnell and Brendan doing great work back there, trying to adjust the levels.
You heard was their handiwork.
Yeah. It is always tough with Chris. What's one of the things we love about having Chris on this time of the week? He is on location every single week. What's the tough part technically with that? He's in a different spot every week.
That's right. DJ Jams. DeBears should have left Eberflus in Detroit. And when the owner was questioned by reporters on his decision, their response should have been, "I like our decision there. LOL. LOL. Whatever Flews had to say after that debacle yesterday. Steve the Proxy. Remember that time when Caleb Williams and his dad were trying to negotiate equity in the team that drafted him? This is the most hilarious idea after 12 games of Caleb. Maybe he works out when they get a new coaching staff, but equity for a rookie quarterback, stop it. Remember when he said they would never punt also? And Jaden Daniels went like the first 8 games or 7 games, whatever it was, and the Skins had punted like 3 times.
Did Caleb say that? I don't remember that.
Yeah, he said that.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Paul Zhang, love the Falcons this week off a bye and a short week for LA. Also, no Dobbins. He's with you.
It's a lot of the spot stuff, right? The stuff that Matt Brown hates. Yeah. Matt Brown coming up next, I think. He hates it, but it is. It's the short week, travel to the East Coast, West Coast team traveling east, having to play early, the Falcons off a bye.
Which brings us to our G-Bank Best Bets of the Week. We're in the Best Bets of the Day. Courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSIN. Do I get honors here, Your Honor?
Yeah, sure.
All right, I get you honors.
Should have texted them all to you.
Genty plus 750, as we just talked about, to win the Heisman. He's about to take the field here in about a half hour. Bengals. I got the Bengals minus 2.5 against the Steelers. This on the heels of a Packers win. Packers is what I loved best this week in the NFL. But my other two on the Megapod, which I bet, Bengals minus 2.5 against the Steelers. I think the Bengals are a better football team than the Steelers. Sorry, Steelers fans. I think that. Sorry. And then I'm taking the Cardinals plus the 3.5 against the Minnesota Vikings. Kelly Bidlin, what do you got here?
Both years I like, by the way. I've like gone back and forth considering them like all week, it feels like, but I haven't added them yet. Seattle's kind of on that list for me, too. Thunder tonight, I could not believe this line when it opened. Money line was like 115. They were like 1-point favorites. It's out to 3 now, which seems a little bit more appropriate. But
it's a trap.
I still like it against the Lakers. We saw a similar line against the Golden State Warriors the other night when it looked like Steph was going to play.
Yeah.
Warriors, better team than Lakers. This was pretty easy for me to pull the trigger on the Thunder here.
I love what people in sports betting say. It's a trap.
It's a trap. Yeah. I will say it makes me a little uneasy. Like I didn't go as big on this tonight as I normally would with it being the random day after Thanksgiving. There's just too many things to get in my own head about that, mm-hmm. of how it might affect these guys. NFL this weekend, Falcons money line, Rams laid to 2.5, Bills laid the 5.5 on the opener. And as I kind of just discussed, several more I'm considering adding but haven't added. Seattle, I think I'm going to end up on.
Jason Weingarten joins us. He's on Oklahoma State taking the points against Colorado this morning. That also kicks off in a little less than a half hour. And he's on the Chargers versus the Falcons. Mm-hmm. People have opinions on that game. Chris Felica, the Bear, came on from Columbus. He is today. He's got 2 today, 2 tomorrow. Today, he's taking Miami of Ohio plus the points against Bowling Green. A little maction for you. Sam Houston. Taking Sam Houston plus the 2.5 against Liberty. Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. That's not the theme song for Liberty University? No? Okay. Tomorrow, Baylor plus the 1.5 against Kansas. And then Houston plus 13, taking the 13 points against BYU. Also, Chris Felica, by the way, side note off like bonus picks.
Bonus picks.
Text message version. He also, in a hypothetical... In a hypothetical ACC championship, he's got ahead. SMU plus the points, and he has...
He said it, noted it's up at FanDuel, 3.5, likes the 3.5 with SMU.
And he also, Man City, we were talking about Man City mm-hmm. earlier, winless in their last 6. He has them to, let me just get
to
this
be relegated.
Right. To be relegated.
Yeah, 10-1.
10-1. Really? We talk about relegation?
Yeah, this is all the
we talk about relegation.
This is all the talk about relegation. Yeah. This is all the penalty stuff or whatever that's hanging over their heads that they can be penalized.
That's part of the equation, though, part of the calculus. That's right. And then Zach Cohen just came on. He's got Amen Thompson 20-1 for 6th man of the year. Stephon Castle 8-1 rookie of the year. And then in college football, he's on Vandy plus the points. He's laying the wood with Indiana against Purdue, laying the 29. He, too, is on the Chargers. And Zach is bolder than all of us.
Yeah.
He's on the New York Jetropolitans against the Seattle Seahawks.
Amen Thompson, when Zach's making me do homework here early, because that is when I'll have to dig into a little bit more. Six man of the year market is not one I've been very active in. Amen Thompson's been awesome. I think his note of just some of the other books being at 7 or 8 to 1 already on him is very telling. So 20 is nice there. And Stephon Castle, man, we are like, next 15 years might be him and Wemby anchoring that defense, point of attack and rim defense there. That Spurs duo could be quite talented for a long time to come.
Yeah.
I like his bet there.
UConn team is aging well from last year. Paul Carr, Premier League bets. Tomorrow, Brentford first half win versus Leicester City. Nottingham Forest with a win over Ipswich Town. And then Sunday's got Liverpool over Man City. Liverpool over Man City. Your best bets brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. GBank Visa Signature Card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Which brings us, Kelly, to Are We Sure? Estamos Seguros.
That's right.
In the National Football League. What you got?
Hey, Gil. Are we sure that Matt Eberflus is going to be a head coach by the time I have my first drink today?
We are not. When are you having your first drink today?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That's part of the question.
Are you having
I don't
it
know.
Right after the show? No, or are you no, waiting no, until no. Today?
It's several hours after the show.
We're not 100% sure. I mean, I don't. There is no excuse for what happened yesterday. We went through it earlier on the show. I don't know how you can continue as a professional football team with this guy as your head coach.
I agree.
At the same time, what are you, 4-8 now? Yeah, go interim. I am not 100% sure. We are not sure that he will be a head coach before your first drink today.
I'm not even sure he should have been one heading into the season.
Okay. First of all, he should have been gone several times this year.
Yeah. Zach Cohen adding into, what is this, the Hardwood Handicappers text message, plus 450 he's seeing on that Amen Thompson bet places. Okay. Wow, okay. Are we sure? The Cowboys still have a chance because Micah Parsons says it, Gil.
No, we're not sure. In fact, we know they're not. They don't have a chance. No, they don't. Micah Parsons, we're going to make a run, was his exact quote yesterday. Yeah, probably not, Micah, for the Cowboys, who, by the way, have got Dave Ross all happy. But no, you're not going to make a run. We are not only are we not sure, we are sure the other way.
All I know is Lombardi line gets a whole lot better if Dave Ross still has some belief in the Cowboys. So that's good. That is good. I like that. All right. This one we've kind of already answered already, but I'll throw it back at you. Are we sure the cold affects the Dolphins?
We're not 100% sure that it was the main thing that was at play yesterday. But we're kind of sure about it.
Oh, I think we're sure.
I mean, we're sure that it has some to do with it. Right. How did you phrase the question?
I just said, are we sure the cold affects the Dolphins?
Oh, yes. Then it absolutely affects
them. Because we heard a dang player say it.
Jordan Brooks said it himself, the linebacker. And again, let me just quote the stat from Next Gen Stats. I'll read it here. According to Next Gen Stats, the Dolphins missed 20 tackles in the loss, which directly led to 132 additional yards for the Packers. And again, if you ever grew up in a cold weather place, which you did not in the United States. I don't know how much cold weather football you played.
I mean, I did spend a few years in Anchorage, Alaska and Moscow, Russia, but okay.
So I just remember as a kid, like there was nothing more fun than playing football in the snow. But if it got icy,
yes,
and you were playing full pad tackle football, it hurt so much when you were crunching into people and tackling them and getting tackled. No, it's not fun at all.
It's not.
Okay, not that there was ice yesterday, but cold is cold and it hurts. And if you're not used to it, yeah, it affects them. It absolutely affects the Dolphins, and it does historically. Again, now 0-12 in their last 12.
All right, I'm going to skip ahead to one. Are we sure you and I could last longer than 2 minutes on the ice rink at Fountain Blue? This is a surprise.
There's an ice rink at Fountain Blue?
Oh, Fountain Blue has, I don't know if it's on top of their pool.
Cosmo has one on their pool now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So they got an ice rink out there.
What do you mean last?
When's the last time you've been on skates?
Several years back in New York at 30 Rock.
What do you mean by last?
Meaning not fall?
Like, yes, yeah.
Oh, no, no.
Would you eat it?
No, when Gracie was 13, I used to go in San Francisco all the time with her.
Really?
I'll stay afloat.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Gil the favorite over me.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
And then finally, eventually, I did fall, but it took a while. Took a while, at least. We'll come back. Dr. Bob, college football next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up, top of the hour, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni typically, but Stormy is at the BYU game, we think, this weekend.
Well, with me and Brian Ortega's minds combined, we have calculated it at a 99% chance that's where she's at.
Filling in for Stormy, not one but two human beings, of course, Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz doing Money Moves, top of the hour, from noon to 2 Eastern, then Prop Points with John Hansen from 2 to 3 Eastern, and then Adam Schein with Make It Rain from 3 to 4. That's coming up on VSiN, the sports betting network, by the way. We get tweets at Beating the Book. John G, Angry Johnny. Hey, Gil, you handled that out with the bear the same way the Bears handled the end of the game. Well, you see, here's the thing.
Fleek ran out of time. The Bears ran out of time.
Sometimes our guests are listening to what's happening in their ear, and sometimes they're not. So, yes, I Eberflused Bear off earlier in the game. Thank you for noticing.
That was great.
Let's see. Paul Bovey. From an offensive standpoint, the weather had zero effect. Quarterbacks 58 of 74. Field goals were 4 for 4. It was overblown, as weather often is. Yeah, again, except for the 20 tackles part again.
Yeah.
It hurts.
I mean, and a player admitted.
Yeah. And a player on the Dolphins said it. So I don't know what else to tell you. Roger Jones, love the multiple Admiral Akbar references to close the show. Have a great weekend, guys. You know what that's about?
Multiple what?
I have no idea. C. Spackler, damn right it hurt. Get wet, stand on the sidelines in the cold wind, go cover a kickoff. Damn right it hurt.
Oh, it's Admiral Akbar from Star Wars. It's a trap.
Oh, it's a trap.
It's a trap.
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't get the... I'm not a Star Wars guy.
Come on.
I'm really not.
Well, that's what you got to do this weekend. You got to watch like all 27 Star Wars movies they have.
You
now.
Would have to pay me an exorbitant amount of money.
Or take how many Star Wars movies are we up to? Like 16?
There's more total? Than 9 total? Really? There's 9. Nine. Voice of God, Brian Ortega in my ear telling me that I'm all right. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a pioneer in predictive modeling of sporting events. He's Dr. Bob. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive guest line at drbobsports, drbobsports.com. Bob, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. Speaking of tweets, apparently I suck now. after going 0-2 last week, Twitter
someone gave you a hard time for going 0-2.
Yeah, 0-2 last week. Dr. Bob sucks. Not forgetting that I'm 117-90-3 all time on your show. And I wrote the guy back. I'm like, if you went to a Yankees game and saw Aaron Judge go 0-4 with 3 strikeouts, which he does all the time, would you think he sucks? I mean, I'm Aaron Judge. Yes,
I guess. I was about to say, did you just call yourself Aaron Judge, Bob? Is that what just happened there?
I compared myself to Aaron Judge. You know, we can all strive to be the best. It's just the short-term mentality of gamblers. So I said, look, be an investor, not a gambler. Don't overreact to short-term results.
But you said before, Bob, though, if you could distill the biggest, I think you've been asked this before, what is the biggest reason for your success? I believe your answer is the ability to overcome negative variance, which is what you're kind of talking about there, right?
Well, I do not let recent results of my model or recent results of my method change what I know works. And some people lose faith in what they're doing if they go through, a bad run in their model or whatever they do. And that just makes it worse. I have full confidence in what I'm doing. I've been modeling for years and years and years, and my models work. And I'm not going to, there's negative variance, just like positive variance, is inevitable. It's going to happen. You should expect it and not overreact when it happens. And I don't overreact when things are going bad. I just stay the course and, things always turn around, and I've been winning for 30 something years. So.
And by the way, that not only applies to new or novice bettors, that applies to some of the other pillars in the industry who do take their toys and go home after a bad run as well, right? They don't have as much confidence in their methods as you do with yours. So I want to shout you out for that as well. Let's get to a couple games today, beginning with the Egg Bowl. Ole Miss, big favorites over Mississippi State here.
Yeah, this came down to 24.5 this morning, and I jumped on that. It's just a lot of it depends. Look, Mississippi might be a little bit emotionally flat after losing last week and getting knocked out of the playoffs, but they're not out of the playoffs. Like, upsets happen, and they're just a few spots down from being back in the playoffs. And this is a rivalry game, and this is Lane Kiffin, who's a bully. His teams are 4-0 against the number land 21 points or more this season. Mississippi State's actually been a good bet as a big underdog. They're also, you know, been good as a big underdog. But if Mississippi comes to play and they're not like, woe is me after last week's loss, then they should blow out Mississippi State. I mean, the offense is averaging, you know, 38 and a half points a game. And Mississippi State's defense is terrible. The Bulldogs allow 73% completions and nearly 9 yards of pass play to the FBS teams they face this season. I mean, that's just, I mean, the Rebels are just going to be able to throw the ball over the field, regardless of whether Trey Harris plays. Harris has missed a lot of games, and the offense has been just as good without Harris. They might miss running back Parrish a little bit. He's worth about a point. But even factoring that in, I have Mississippi with over 600 total yards and 8 yards of play. I mean, they, and Lane Kiffin's not, he's not against running it up, especially if he thinks he needs to, you know, impress the committee. You know, Mississippi, as far as Mississippi State's offense, they've been pretty good. They're about, you know, a little worse than average for an SEC team, but pretty good overall. But they're about the same as the average offense that the Rebels have faced this year. And Mississippi's only given up 15.3 points per game. So if Mississippi's scoring 45 or more, and Mississippi's, you know, below 20, I think minus 24 and a half, 25 is a good bet. In fact, at the start of staying the whole way, I have Mississippi by 34. And with some garbage time mixed in, I come up with 32. And there may not be garbage time. He might run it, just keep the starters in and run up the score. But either way, there's value at minus 25 or less. So I think Mississippi.
Yeah, the line you said in there that resonates the most, and Lane Kiffin is a bully. He sure is, man.
He has no
compunction running up a score.
He loves
no.
it.
Yeah, look at the bad teams they face this year, the scores they put up. It's ridiculous.
All right, well, this isn't as big as the Egg Bowl, but for those who live in Northern California, Stanford and the Spartans of San Jose State, you have a play on this.
Yeah, I mean, this one's probably big for San Jose State.
Yes.
I mean, they're facing a Power Four team. They're 6-5, not guaranteed of a bowl. Mountain West teams that are 6-6 are not guaranteed a bowl game. Getting to 7 wins would put San Jose State in a bowl game. And Stanford, what does Stanford have to play for? I mean, they're 4-7 or 3-7, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3-8, 4-7. They just blew a double-digit fourth-quarter lead to their rival Cal last week, and now they have to play a non-conference game against San Jose State. I mean, how do you get up for this game? And even if Stanford is up for this game and plays their best, you're talking about a San Jose State team with a very good offense. Walker Yett had became the quarterback about 5 weeks ago. He's been really good. Last week, it was a pouring rainstorm in San Jose, and apparently he cannot throw in the rain. He's from Southern California, hasn't played in rain much. I read the articles after the game. He's like, well, I'm not used to playing in the rain. He was 4-22 passing last week against UNLV, and he's still averaging 8.1 yards per pass play for the season, even after 4-22 last week. I think he'll bounce back. Supposed to be nice weather tonight in San Jose. So the offense has been really good with Yett at the controls. He's been much better than the former starter Brown. The Stanford offense is terrible. The San Jose State defense is better than average on a national scale. I don't see how Stanford's going to get their normal 20 points a game. They might get around 20 points a game, but San Jose State's got a better defense, a much better offense, and more incentive, and they're laying 2.5 at home. I think the line's bad, so I think San Jose State.
San Jose State laying the 2.5 against Stanford. By the way, Stanford 3-8 season. Last thing, Bobby, it appears like your stance on Indiana is going to – it appears like the committee agrees with you that despite the big loss to Ohio State, they have them 10th. It looks like what they did by that is saying Indiana's in no matter what here. So they agreed with you on the Hoosiers.
Well, it was disappointing that they played so bad in that game. They started off well and then just kind of fell apart with some misfortune, and they kind of lost their composure. But Ohio State is the best team in college football. So, you know, that's going to happen. But I still think, you know, Indiana is a top 12 team. I mean, power ratings-wise, Las Vegas ratings-wise would agree. So I think they deserve to be in.
Okay. Once again, Bob's picks today. Again, he is on San Jose State laying the points against Stanford, and he's on Ole Miss laying the points, Lane Kiffin and the Rebels laying the points against Mississippi State. Bob, thank you as always, man. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and say hello to the family, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, the family was here in the house, and they were bothering me while I was trying to work. So that was my Thanksgiving. Like, leave me alone. Get off my lawn.
The hardest working man in handicapping, Bob Stoll. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Courtesy. Talk to you next week. You too. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Hopefully, Bob, oh, I should have asked him. I should have asked him on air, so I put him to it. I think he said he would be on the Megapod, too, as well.
Oh, there you go.
Once the college football regular season wound down. So I know we have championship week next week, so hopefully we can get him on the Megapod as well for the NFL side. We've done all we can do. Kelly, good luck with all your bets this weekend.
Thanks, friend. Man. You too.
Hey, thank you so much. And good luck to all of your bets, college, pro football, and beyond. College football kicks off 5 minutes from now. All day football, baby, with little Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter in action, among others, of course. We've done all we can do. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz next on Money Moves. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.